We ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Amen. Let's bow our hearts now in prayer and ask for the moving of God's Spirit in our midst. Our Father in heaven, truly we have received much at thy hand. We are thankful for the salvation that we enjoy this morning. We are thankful this morning that even the Holy Spirit dwells within thy people. And Lord, as we approach thee through the blood of the intercessor, our Lord Jesus Christ, we would ask that you would come and in the midst of your people move for the glory of thy great name. Lord, come this morning upon the preacher and use the preacher to exalt the name of Christ. But Lord, come and move upon all who listen, even the preacher, as we would listen to thy word together. And we ask, O God, that you would speak to all of our hearts, that we would not be bystanders looking on, but that, Lord, we would experience thy presence this morning for ourselves, that we would know what it is to be shut in with thee, and that, Lord, you would speak to our deepest needs. Lord, come and rebuke sin. Come and exhort us to righteousness. Come and encourage and strengthen the faint of heart. Come and give wisdom and knowledge to those who are seeking thee for it. Come and give healing of the soul to those who need that healing this morning. Lord, come. Come and give gifts to those who wait upon thee. And Lord, we pray that as you come and move in our hearts, we would then be moved to labor for thee and to serve thee and to worship thee. Lord, come. Come this morning and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Paul met with the elders of Ephesus, away from the city of Ephesus. We're not told exactly all the reasons for that. Perhaps it was because he wanted to deal with their own personal needs and their own ministry there in the church of Ephesus. Obviously, if he went back to Ephesus, it would cause quite a stir, and he would have a hard time getting the elders apart and dealing with whatever needs that they had. He speaks to them concerning his own example in the ministry. You see that in the first part of what he says in verses 18 to 27. Now, this really becomes almost like an epistle, even though it's a message, a sermon. And we find what an example it is. What a glorious example that Paul lays before these elders, telling them, this is how you live the Christian life. This is how you minister among God's people. And then he has an entreaty or an exhortation to them concerning what their ministry is all about. And you see that from verses 28 to 35. 28 to 35. Now, if I were dealing solely with elders this morning, I would make this my text, and that's what we'd be looking at. But while there are elders here, and we believe in elder rule, and nonetheless, you have come for something for your heart. And this morning, I want us to look primarily at this last verse of Paul's exhortation. This last verse of his exhortation in verse 35, he says this, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, this last statement by our Lord is Paul's concluding argument to those in Ephesus. He brings in a statement by our Lord, and he, as it were, punctuates his message, what he has already said, with this statement. The Lord Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, this quotation of our Lord is not found in any of the Gospels, although it does not contradict any of the themes of the Gospels. It certainly coincides with everything that our Lord has said in the Gospels. But when you look for the verse, it's not there. Now, in reality, many verses could be brought forward to show that this was the teaching of our Lord. But this particular verse, the exact wording, is not found in the Gospels. Now, we know that not every miracle that our Lord did, nor every sentence that he pronounced in his ministry, is found in the Gospels. In fact, John makes statement of that in his gospel at the end. Truly, the books would not be big enough to carry everything that our Lord said and that he did. It is also possible that our Lord gave this message to Paul after he left the earth and went to glory. We know that he gave personal revelation to Paul. And it is possible that this message was something given to Paul from our Lord Jesus. And perhaps Paul, on other occasions, or even to the Ephesians, had used this word of our Lord to stir their hearts to do his bidding. The last argument, then, is not merely an argument appropriate for elders, but it's an argument appropriate for everyone in the congregation of God, if you understand what Paul is bringing to our attention. What Christ said perhaps is not a truism of life. Giving back to someone may not be a blessing at all. It could bring you into great harm. If a policeman gives you a ticket, I wouldn't give it back to him and say it's more blessed to give than to receive. I think that the speeding ticket he's given probably ought to stay with yourself. You go to the doctor and you're sick and you ask for medicine and he gives you a prescription and you, or perhaps gives you something in his office. I don't think you would give it back to him and say, it's more blessed for me if I give this back to you than receiving it. And yet there are other times in life when truly it is more blessed to give than receive. A boxer would certainly say that, would he not? More blessed to give than to receive blows in a boxing arena, or maybe perhaps another type of athlete. We don't know the context in which our Lord said this, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. What we do know is that Paul is saying this in a certain context, and we have to trust that the Apostle Paul is not taking the statement of our Lord out of its context and using it wrongly, but he's actually putting it into the context of here dealing with the elders' ministry and then applying it in that fashion. As believers, we are called upon to receive certain things. If you have not received Christ in salvation, you're not a believer. You're still dead in trespasses and sins. Is that what Paul is saying, that there are things even greater than that? Well, there are things that are added to that. Truly, after you're saved, the greatest thing you could be is a witness and see others brought into the kingdom. That is great. Your salvation is secure. It's not going to change. You die, you're going to heaven. Why has God left you here? He's left us here to be a witness that we might see others come into the kingdom. And as they come into the kingdom, we can say, this is more blessed than just my receiving the gospel. We receive spiritual power as God's people, that we might help those who are weak. That is certainly in the immediate context. We are to support those who are weak, and we receive power, and then we give that power by showing to believers meeting their needs. Christ is not saying there's no blessing in receiving, because obviously we receive, and it's part of the Christian life. But here we find the teaching of it being more blessed to give than to receive as a statement concerning the ministry of the elders to those who are in the church. It's more blessed for them not merely to sit in the church and receive from the church, but to give to the church of Christ, to minister to that church. Remember that in verse 28, the church is defined as the church of God who has been purchased by his blood. Paul was exhorting them, not so much to a truism of life, but to the gospel ministry to which they were called. They were overseers, called to shepherd the flock of God. Wolves would come to rend that flock. There would be those who would try to destroy God's church. If God purchased the church with his own blood, then helping and protecting the sheep brings favor to the favor of God, to those who are working to benefit that church. We are to give God to God's work because we have received from God's gospel. If we do not give, does that not show that we don't believe the very truths that Paul has been stating about the church? Here is a glorious church purchased by the blood. And Paul is coming to the elders, and he's saying to the elders, it's more blessed that you give to this church, that you minister to the church, than you receive from the church. If we give, it's evidence that we understand the greatness of the church. It's evidence we understand what the Lord is doing in the church. It's evidence that we understand what our role is in the church. And yet how often people come to the church and the only thing they have on their mind is, what am I going to give? What am I going to get from the church? If the elders were to come and give to the church and try to meet its needs by their ministry, then certainly we must say that that is true of everyone in the church. That is the proper role of all of us. We come to the church in order to benefit the church that has been purchased by the blood of Christ. Around you are people purchased by the blood of Christ. Around you is the church of the living God. Now, I couldn't say that in many assemblies this morning. There are many assemblies, even Presbyterian assemblies, where I could not say around you are those purchased by the blood. Around you is the church of the living God. But I can say that here this morning because there are believers here. Imperfect though we are believers. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you are purchased by His blood, I can say to you that you have a calling in this church where it's more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to take what God has given to you and show it and give it to others. Because you are ministering to those that belong to God. Those who have been indeed redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So our theme very simply this morning is that we must give to the needs of those redeemed by the blood, or those that are truly the church of God. Now this would include, obviously, our gifts. We give those gifts to God, but they come in order to try to help the body of Christ. The body of Christ is meeting in a building. We're paying for that to happen. You have lights on. That takes money to put the lights on. Air conditioning is running this morning. It takes money to run the air conditioning. So your giving is part of this that Paul is speaking of. But he's going far beyond just that we give our gifts and our tithes. That is something that should be completely understood. He's talking here about our need to give of ourselves. Why can he say that? Why can he say it's more blessed to give than to receive? Well, he can say that because it is more blessed simply because the one who pronounced it. Who is the one who's actually saying it's more blessed to give than to receive? He says here, remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said. These are the words of Christ. And Christ, you could say, witnessed the giving of the Father. The Father gave His only begotten Son to creatures. And so therefore, if He did that, He gave, and that is blessed, then certainly it's more blessed if we follow His pattern and we give. The Father gave His only begotten Son to His creatures. More than that, He gave His only begotten Son to rebels to meet the needs of those rebels. To try to redeem those rebels out of a bondage that they deserve and out of a hell that they have earned. Yet He gave His only begotten Son. And if it was right for Him to give His Son, and that is the essence of goodness, then it's right for us to give to those same people. The Father gave the only begotten Son for those who are under wrath. And certainly if the Father has done so, our Lord, who has witnessed that, can say, this is the actions of the good God, the real God, the living God. And if the living God acted in this fashion, then certainly we ought to as well. But this one who is saying these words, the Lord Jesus Himself, has also experienced the giving. He gave Himself. He gave up His comforts in order that the church might be comforted. He came into the misery of this life. He didn't have to do that. But he came into the misery of this life and he gave himself to do so. He gave himself as far as his reputation was concerned. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. And then in the end, he was falsely accused of things he had never done. He gave his life. He gave his life. He died in obedience so others might live. And this one who gave, he gave of himself. He left the comforts of glory into this life of misery. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was falsely accused. This one who died on a cross, he gave himself. He can say by experience, it is more blessed to give than to receive, because he did give. And he gave to you and I this morning. He gave to those that he purchased with his own blood. Christ sent forth the Spirit, and the Spirit came to teach about Christ. He sees that giving. The Spirit came and gave, as it were, of himself to come into your life and to teach you about Christ. He taught you about your sin. He taught you about your lack of righteousness. The Spirit talked to you about judgment. And then he showed you the beauties and the glories of Christ. Spirit gave gifts to the church. The Spirit has come, and he's come, and he's here this morning, and he's given you gifts. Every one of you who are saved this morning, you have a gift to use in the body of Christ. Even in this very passage, we have the offices of the overseer said to be that which the Holy Spirit had done. He made you overseers. You see that in verse 28. Didn't they vote on him? Sure they did. The Holy Spirit was in control of that vote, and he made them overseers, he made them elders, he made them pastors in the body of Christ. And so here you have not only the Father giving, not only the Son giving, but you have the Spirit giving as well, giving his influence, giving his leadership, giving gifts to the church, giving the ability to repent and believe. He is giving, he is giving, he is giving. The one who is telling us it's more blessed to give than to receive is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the authority on it. The Godhead is our example then for giving to the needs of God's people. But we're not only acting like the Trinity. God's work is being fulfilled in our lives. If this is what God is doing, if he's giving to the needs of his people, then you and I are, as it were, getting into the flow of his working. This is God. He's giving to the needs of those that he's purchased by the blood. And he's telling these elders in Ephesus, I want you to be a part of that giving. This is where I'm working. Now, they had received because they were part of the church. They had been saved. But now they were going to enter into the giving. And they were going to minister to God's people as God was ministering to the people. And as God was moving in Ephesus, they were going to be a part of that moving. And so you have the apostles saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Because when you're giving, it's not only that you have received, but you're actually being a part of what God is doing here in Ephesus, in his church. How many just want to sit on the sidelines? They come only to get what they can get. And then they go home wondering why they're not blessed. You want to be blessed? Then take sides with God, not against him. Enter into what God is doing. Be a part of what God is doing. That's what Paul is exhorting these elders to do. He's telling them, God is moving in his church. You be a part of that. You give of yourselves to that. Because the Lord Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Secondly, we can say it's more blessed because the one who preached it, not just the one who pronounced it, our Lord, but the one who preached it. Paul says, I have showed you all things. I have been an example. Paul himself was an example that it was blessed to give. And when you look at what Paul did in Ephesus, he was giving and he was giving and he was giving and he was giving. He's amazing. You look at him, you say, where does that energy come from? Obviously, he was walking in line with the God who was giving. And God was energizing this apostle to continue to give and to give and to give. Now, he gives us his testimony. We said that already. He tells them of his own example. They saw that example. Now he's reminding them of it. He's bringing all those 3 years into a few sentences. Look at verse 31. He says in verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Earlier in verse 19 it says, "He served the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations or trials which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews." He gave himself in his labors. He gave of his time, 3 years of his time. Have you ever given 3 years of your time to the Lord? We have a hard time getting people to give 1 day of the week to the Lord. It's his day. He owns it. You should give that 1 day. He will bless you on that day if you will honor him in the whole day. He will bless you. But here's the apostle. He takes 3 years of his life and he invests it in the city of Ephesus. During that time, he has people plotting against him. That's what he said at the end of the verse that we read, verse 19. The trials which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. They were trying to destroy him. Yet he gave 3 years of his life. He gave of his sleeping. Verse 31 tells us he was preaching night and day. Night and day. That means he was up at night. We have an example of Eutychus falling asleep when Paul preached all night long. And then he got up in the morning and he walks 20 miles to get to the next city. Now I know you need sleep. I need sleep. We all need sleep. Paul needed sleep. And yet, night and day, now there were obviously times he slept, I'm not saying that, but he was willing to give of his sleep in order that he might give to the church that God was giving to. That God was giving to. He gave of his well-being, if I could use that terminology. He's doing it with tears. His heart's been broken at times. You see that in verse 31, that with tears night and day. You see that again in verse 19. He says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears." And you read what took place in Ephesus, and you say it's an outpouring, but it just happened, and Paul just happened to be there. No, Paul's heart was in that. And with tears, he was pleading with men. With tears, he was warning men. We at times put guards up to make sure our emotions don't get stirred. We got people going to hell, it doesn't stir us. We got saints who are having a hard time, families that are having a hard time, and it doesn't stir us. Well, we can gossip about it, we can slander, we can do that, but it doesn't stir us when someone's having a hard time in the body of Christ. Paul is saying, look, give to the needs of God's people. I was in your midst, and night and day for 3 years, I warned you with tears. He was a part, as it were, of what God was doing in the city. It was as if God was beseeching men through Paul. That's the very language he uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God was beseeching men through Paul. He gave of himself in his labors. You find he gave of himself in his possessions. You see that in verses 33 and 34. He did not receive a paycheck. He says in verse 34, "Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities." He said, "I haven't coveted any man's silver or gold or apparel." Now, he could have received a paycheck. He had earned it. It wasn't wrong. And later he would set that up in all the churches that the man who would labor would indeed be paid. There was nothing wrong. He's worthy of double honor. But Paul was an evangelist pleading with men, and he didn't want it confused in the hearts of people that they would think that he was doing this to get at their pocketbook. Because there were such charlatans in his day. Man, there are great charlatans in our day. They use religion to make themselves rich. Paul wasn't about that. And he wanted to make it clear. And so he not only worked to pay for his labor, his necessities, excuse me, he also labored to pay for the necessities of those who were with him. And we saw a list of those that were with him. Luke, and then the other seven men that are mentioned at the beginning of this chapter. He gave of his possessions. You and I have been given possessions, but they really are possessed by the one who has redeemed us. That's what verse 28 says. He hath purchased us with his own blood. That is, we are his possession, including all we own. You say, I gave so much to the Lord. No, you just gave what he gave to you. That's all you gave. And perhaps there was more that you could have given, more that we should have given. Paul gave everything. Here we find him in this chapter, giving of his possessions. And he was willing to give himself to the death. It's easy to say that, but Paul was living that reality. There were those conspiring against him in Ephesus. Now he's going to Jerusalem. Bonds and afflictions were waiting for him there. He didn't know if he was going to die there. They thought this was the last time they would see him. Verse 24, look at this statement he makes. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says, I do not care about death. I only am concerned about finishing my ministry. And my ministry is to testify of the grace of God. Here is one who had given. He gave in his labors. He gave of his wealth. He was willing to give up his life. And this one is coming to you and to me, and he's saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to come to the church of Christ and be spent and to give of your time, to give of your energies, to try to meet the needs of those that are in the congregation than it is just to sit there and receive. That's what Paul is saying. It is more blessed, we can also say this morning, because of the one who partakes in it. He says in verse 35 that you ought to support the weak. You ought to be a participant in this giving. I mean, that's his argument, is it not? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And why is he saying that? You ought to be giving to those who are weak. You know anybody that's weak in the church of Christ? Oftentimes in the church, they're subject to ridicule or mocking or attack. For Paul, they were the source, as it were, the scope, the focus of his trying to build them up. So they wouldn't be weak anymore. So they would not be weak anymore. What are we to give to those that are weak? Well, we give them the gospel of Christ. You see that in verse 24. Paul said that's what God had given to him to give to others. He received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That was his joy in the ministry. That's our main thrust here. Our main thrust is not to bring healing to your physical body. There may be different views as to how to heal certain illnesses or problems that we have, but that's not our main thrust. Our main thrust is not really physical money. It's not really how do you make a living on planet Earth. Obviously, we have to make a living, and we can give advice, and somebody has gifts in a field where you're proficient. You can tell them how to get a job in that field, but that's not the main purpose for our being together here this morning. What was Paul's main purpose in Ephesus? His main purpose was to preach the gospel. That's what it's about. And there are those that are weak when it comes to the gospel. They don't know the gospel as they ought. They are weak. And Paul's great desire was to fulfill that commission. And we read that everyone in Asia heard the gospel when Paul was there preaching it. They all heard it. Now the Lord has enabled us as a church to get the gospel out beyond the four walls here. We've gone door to door. We need to do it again and again and again. But we've done that. We were on the radio. The Lord has given us opportunity, at least for now, to be on the radio. And the gospel is going over into New Jersey and the Philadelphia area, to the west of us, to the north of us, to the south of us. Not everyone under the sound of that gospel is listening to it. There's a possibility of 12 million people listening to the gospel, but they're not tuning into the radio when we're on. But at least the Lord has given us that opportunity. He's given us the opportunity to take the gospel to the ends of the earth while we sit here through sermon audio. But again, not everybody has access to a computer. Most people in the world don't even have electricity. But nonetheless, though we be small, He has given us opportunity of ministering. But what about to those right here in our families? What about to those in the very neighborhood? Are you giving to those that are truly weak? It's one of the ways the Bible describes those that are unsaved. They're weak. Now, we're weak as believers oftentimes, but the unsaved are described as weak. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." When we had no strength, when we were weak, we were without strength in our position before God. We really had no position. We were without strength in our powerlessness before the law of God. We couldn't keep the law. We were without strength, even though we had people around about us, and all of our combined strength wouldn't remove one of our sins, wouldn't make us right in the sight of God. We were without strength. We were weak. And that's what we have all around us, is it not? Those that are weak. And you have been given a measure of strength now because you're strong in Christ. Your sins have been removed by the blood of Christ. You have a righteousness imputed to you by that same work of Christ. You have been given power from the heavenly Christ. The Holy Spirit now dwells within us. We're not as strong as we ought to be, but we're not as weak as we once were. You have freedom of conscience now because God has removed all of your sins. Where before, if you tried to serve Him, your conscience would smite you. And every time you served Him imperfectly, you'd have to draw back knowing that that would land you in a torment forever. But now you've got freedom. You've got some strength. You have a righteousness that robes you in God's sight. I know that people sometimes don't believe that. Sometimes Christians don't believe that. Sometimes Christians are going to treat you as if you're not righteous in Christ. But you also have a power coming from the heavenly Christ that has been given to you. And you are therefore to give to those that are weak. There are unsaved people who do not have that. And we are to give the gospel to them. We're to tell them about forgiveness of sin. We're to tell them about this glorious righteousness that is imputed to His people. We're to tell them about the power of the Spirit that can change their hearts. But we're also more than trying to help here with the weak that are unsaved. He says you ought to support the weak. He's dealing primarily with those among God's people. Among God's people. We're not as weak as we once were. Everyone here has their sins removed. If they're saved, if they've repented and believed, they have their sins removed, they're gone. If they repented and believed, the moment they believed, they became as righteous as Christ. That was imputed to them. They have the Holy Spirit within. Then why are we still weak in faith? And yet at times we are. You look in the Bible. That was the case, was it not? Of God's greatest saints. Here's Abraham, known as the friend of God, known for his faith. He's the father of believers. And yet, weak in faith, he goes down into Egypt. And he says things that aren't quite accurate. David, weak in faith, commits sin. Peter, the great man who walked on water. Peter, the one who was bold as a lion, who could stand before the accusers and preach the truth to them, yet Peter would wilt before a maid. At that time, his faith was weak. Are there those among us who have weak faith? Give yourself to help them. That's what Paul is telling the elders. Give yourself to help them. It's more blessed to give than to try to receive from those that are weak in faith. Labor to help those that are weak in faith. Now, how do you labor to help those that are weak in faith? You do it by praying for them. How many people here in this congregation have you prayed for this week? Let's remove from that equation this morning those that are in your own family. How many people in this congregation have you prayed for this week? Are there anybody here this week in faith? We could all put our hands up at different times during the week. We all can do that. I admonish you. I encourage you. Pray for me. Pray for me. If Paul could say that, I certainly need to have people pray for me as pastor. But there are people around about you that are believers, and yet they're having a hard time believing. Pray for them. I was with another one of the elderly this week, and the lady asked me, why has God kept me here? I'd just soon go to be with the Lord. I said, one of the reasons he's kept you here is to pray for God's people. Pray for me. He's kept you here to pray for God's people. You can do that. Your legs won't carry you to go and knock doors like perhaps you could have done in your younger days. You don't have the physical strength or maybe even the wherewithal to help people financially or physically, but you can call upon God. You can enter into His presence. You've had a long life of walking with the Lord. The Lord has given you great discernment as to what God's people are like and what their needs are. You see those needs. Pray for God's people. Yesterday I was on the phone with a lady who lives 600 miles away. She called me and she says, I'm just discouraged. Just discouraged, seeing what's going on in America. That's where God's people are they not? Looking around them, they're discouraged, they're weak. What are you to do? Build them up. If you have a word from the Scripture you can give to them, then go into the Scripture and find a word. God doesn't just tell the elders to encourage one another. He's telling all of us to do that. We're all to build one another up. That's our ministry here as we're left below. We're to witness to the ungodly, but we're to build up His people, the weak in faith. There are those who are weak in overcoming temptation. Now, I know I'm preaching to those who don't have any trouble with temptation. Right. Everyone here has besetting sins. Everyone here. And we can attack one another because we have besetting sins, or we can pray for one another, and if at times, try to help one another. Not in a legalistic sense where you're trying to destroy a person, but in a godly sense. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. Paul knew that. In his day, there were some who wanted to help, but they didn't really want to help. Look at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are those who are weak, they're having difficulty. Some have actually fallen into sin. How do we help them? Well, we pray for them. And then if we have a spirit of meekness, we can go and try to restore him. But if you don't have a spirit of weakness, meekness, stay away. Just stay, for your own sake, stay away. There are those without a spirit of meekness, and they're going to come and take someone by the throat and shake them until they get right with God. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. We are to help the weak. And one of the ways the weakness is shown in our life is that we're failing to overcome temptation. The church has never been weaker than it is today. How do you overcome temptation? What is your temptation? What is your besetting sin? And I'm not a pastor who would want you to come and tell the whole congregation about your besetting sins. I don't believe that's wise, because God's people aren't healthy enough to take that kind of information. And if you were to tell what's going on in your heart and soul, people around you would not take it right and would not use it properly. And so I don't believe that you ought to do that in the congregation. But I can tell you that around you, if you're being tempted, people around you are also being tempted. Sometimes they win that battle, other times they lose that battle. And when they lose that battle, they are weak. They're weak. And Paul was telling the elders, give yourselves, to those that are weak and help them. Help them overcome. I've known brethren who had no temptation to drink, who would go and meet with a brother in Christ when it was payday and walk him home, because that was the day he was tempted to go drink. He had money in his pocket. Others would just gossip. So-and-so's drunk again. But then there are believers who are concerned and love the brother and know that he has that temptation. They meet him at the point of temptation and they stay with him until the temptation is past. There may be things practically you can do to help someone who's in need. Make them accountable, or if they're willing to be accountable to you, when they're tempted, let them call you and say, I'm going to pray for you. But you can't be that way with someone if you're going to tell everybody about their temptations. People are weak. And Paul is telling the elders, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Those that are weak, you're receiving, but it doesn't benefit them. But if you get into this channel where God is giving to the needs of his people, the needs of those purchased by the blood, and you become an instrument that is being used to give to those needs, you're going to receive great blessing as you're giving to those needs. People are weak when it comes to obedience. Much easier to obey when everybody's doing it. But it's hard to obey when you're on your own. There are times when all of us are on our own. Maybe it's in the workplace. For some of you, maybe it's in your family. If not your immediate family, your extended family. For some of you, it's in your neighborhood where there's nobody understands you. Nobody believes what you believe. Nobody who can really help, as it were, when you have needs. And so when you try to obey, there's nobody around you, and you're to witness to them, and you're to do things that God says, and it'd be much easier just to, as it were, take the banner down and tell people you're not belonging to the Lord, and just go your way and act like you don't know what's going on. Do you not feel that way at times? That's weakness. We're all called upon to obey. And that obedience at times is hard, especially when you're standing alone. Ask Peter about it. Ask Peter about it. It's hard sometimes to obey when you're standing alone. But God's people can help those that are weak by standing with them. And that's what the elders are being called to do. You can say to someone, brother, you're going through this trial. I know the apex of the trial is going to be tomorrow at such and such a time. At that time, I'm praying for you. And then pray. I know among God's people, to say you're praying for someone is almost like saying good day or goodbye. It really means nothing. When you tell someone you're going to pray for them, make sure you do that. And when they're going through great trial, they're trying to obey, and there's something they must do. Maybe witness to a loved one. Maybe there's something they must do as far as confessing their sin to someone. Whatever it might be. Pray for them that they would have the power to do God's will. Maybe even take them by the hand and go with them in that obedience if you can do so. If all of God's people were intent on giving to Christ's church as Christ had given to them, Or perhaps we could say, if all of God's people were intent on giving to the church rather than try to receive from the church, then each person truly would be greatly blessed. And it wouldn't be just the ones receiving the giving, but it would be the ones who have gotten into the stream of God's giving, and God is using them. He's using them. Pray for our Sunday school teachers. They have to give every week. They've got to go and find something for the children. They're praying for the children. They're trying to give the gospel to the children. Pray for them. Pray for our deacons. They're laboring on your behalf to try to help you. They're giving of their time, their energy. Pray for them. Pray for our elders. As Paul here admonishes the elders, I am an elder. We have two elders. Pray for them. Pray for the brethren round about you. We need to pray that God would help those that are weak. And most days of the week, that would describe many, if not all, God's people. We feel our weakness. For those who are older, my age and above, they can remember a statement that John F. Kennedy once stated. In one of his speeches, he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." The Apostle Paul is, in a very real sense, telling that to the elders. Ask not what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do for this people that have been purchased by the blood of God. What can you do for them? Doing for them is more blessed than receiving from them. What have we done this past year to help the body of Christ? If I were to give you a quiz this morning, here's a sheet of paper. Write down on that sheet of paper what you have done to help the body of Christ. Have you prayed for that body? Have you tried to help one that was weak? Have you tried to help someone overcome temptation? Have you tried to help some obey what they're supposed to obey? Have you been the means of trying to give knowledge and instruction to someone who is weak in that area? What have you done this last year? What have we done this last month to help those that are purchased by the blood? What have we done this last week to help those that are purchased by the blood? God has a people. And the Son has purchased them with His own blood. And you and I have the privilege of knowing those people. Some of them we know very well because we meet with them Sunday by Sunday by Sunday. And you have the opportunity of trying to help those people. And if it's only by prayer that you help them, then pray. I can thank the Lord for people in the congregation who, along my 43 years of spiritual life, came up to me in tender and compassionate ways and said that which I needed to hear. I'm here because of them. I'm here because of them. People who saw I had a need and tried to meet that need. Sometimes it wasn't even expressed. They were just very discerning. And they looked into the congregation and they saw a young man and they said, "That young man has needs." And they gave to those needs. And now I'm trying to be that way as well. Who's in the congregation? Who has needs? Who can I try to help? That's what we're all to be doing, brethren, to the people purchased by the blood of the Lamb. The hymn writer said, "Jesus, fill now with thy spirit hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us. Every day and every hour, God has left us here to be a channel to give." We've already received salvation. He's left us to be a channel to give, especially to give to those that are redeemed by the blood of God. Let's pray. You don't have to be called to preach to help God's people. Obviously, that is my calling, and I'm trying to fulfill that. Pray for me. Because what I do every Sunday affects you. Pray for me. But for you to give, many of your gifts are not mine. I need those gifts, as do the people sitting around about you. God has given you a gift to give. Not a gift to hold, but a gift to give. To give to God's people. And you're only going to be happiest as you're exercising that gift. Plus, the gospel itself is a gift. And as you exercise and apply that gospel and love God's people and pray for God's people and seek to build up God's people and help those that are weak, you're going to find that as a channel, your own life is growing in leaps and bounds and you're being strengthened. Whereby those who pull back and they're only interested in what's given to them, their hearts grow stagnant and then bitter. There's no power, no grace. I'm not saying they're unsaved, I'm just saying they're in defeat. Brethren, today our Lord comes to us with this word. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And certainly when it comes to the people of God, it is more blessed to give to them than to receive from them. What can you do? May the Lord help us each to pray and to seek to minister in meek spirits to those who have great needs. If this morning you say, I am among God's people, I'm not purchased by the blood yet, then you must come to Christ and lay hold of Him. Come and ask Him to be your Lord and your Savior. Repent of your sins and believe on Christ, and He will receive you. I am your servant for Christ's sake, and if I can help you in coming to Christ, speak a word with me, and I'll take whatever time necessary to point you to Christ. But it's Christ that you need. Come to Him right where you sit. Father in heaven, we come to Thee as the giver of all life, as the giver of eternal life. Truly, what have we received? Lord, we have nothing that is any good that has not been received as You have given to us. And Lord, You have called us to imitate Thee. You have set before us even a human example in the Apostle Paul, who gave to the Church of Christ, who gave and he gave and he gave again. Lord, we would ask that You would give us grace not to look around and say, who is giving? But to make each one of us givers, prayers, those that love the people of God, those that minister to the people of God, those that go after the backslidden, those that go after those who have fallen, those who seek to build up the people, those who protect the people from wolves in sheep's clothing. Lord, give us grace that we will be givers like Thee. Lord, help each one of us. When we turn in upon ourselves, we confess it's so hard to look away and to see the needs of others and to meet those needs. But Lord, when we see the gospel and we refresh our hearts in what You've done for us, how easy it is to give to others. It just flows from our heart. Lord, show us again what You've done for us on Calvary. Help us to understand all that You've given to us that we might be like Thee. And Lord, this morning we would pray for those outside of Christ. As the gospel has again been given, we ask, O Lord, that they would receive it, that they would respond to it, that they would believe it. Lord, whether they're here in this congregation, whether they're listening by way of internet or later by radio, we ask, O Lord, that You would draw them into Your kingdom, that You would save them for the glory of Thy great name. Lord, come and help Thy people. Come and speak to their hearts. Come and draw them graciously to Christ. May they receive the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and know what salvation is for themselves. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.